I don't know what sort of week you've had, but it's been a little bit of a hectic week, I must admit. But before Julie disappears, I just wanted to just honour Julie and Cliff this morning, because I thought it was a real precious time of worship. You know, it's one of those special times, because I know, but I think sometimes we don't. If you're not into music, we don't realise how hard it is, especially to use discs. It's very difficult to get a flow of worship. I thought they did really well, and I just honour you this morning. It was really good, very, very special. Praise God. And just another thing as well, that Christina was with us last weekend. She wrote a song, and I'm working on it at the moment. She sung it for me, and she said she just wanted to leave it here. And very simple words, but when the music is attached to it, they come into another dimension. And I just want to read you the words before I start today. And over the next few weeks, I'll work on it with the team, and we'll get it sorted out. And it says these words. This is what she's left. She said, "I feel I want to." Because she does write a lot of songs, Christine. Not so much in these latter years, but in the late 90s, she wrote lots and lots of stuff. I think we might have some copies of the From Strength to Strength CD at the back there. About five or six of the songs on that CD were written by Christine, and she's just left this with me. So God said, "I just leave this with you for the church." And praise is going to open up worship for us here. And the words go like this: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy is He. Holy, holy is. Holy, holy is. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. To the Lamb that was slain, we offer our highest praise. To the Lamb on the throne, we worship you and you alone. Holy, holy is. Holy, holy is. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And we could actually put into that holy word, we could put Jesus and worthy and all sorts of other things, that we can do that. And when she sang it to me, it just is really sort of mainly really scripture of what she's used there, but it's beautiful. And hopefully within the next month we'll start singing that song here at Wellspring. Praise God. I'm going to be just speaking this morning for a short time on Paul's letters to the Philippian church, chapter 4, and I want to read you the chapter. We're going to put a little bit of it on the screen, but I just want to read you most part of this chapter. It says these words, and I'm reading from the Living Bible, and a translation I've really seen recently and not really got involved in it, and yet I just, some stuff in it is really, really very special, very easy to understand in modern language. And Paul writes this to the Corinthian church. He says, Dear brother Christians, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward for my work. My beloved friends, stay true to the Lord. And now I want to plead with these two dear women, and I can't even pronounce, forgive me if I pronounce it wrong, Euodias and Syntyche. Please, please, with the Lord's help, quarrel no more. Be friends again. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these women, for they worked side by side with me in telling the good news to others, and they worked with Clement too, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. And I come to the part now which really, really blessed me. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. Remember that the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely. Dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Keep putting into practice all you learnt from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. And as I read through that, it really spoke to me in so many ways. But I just want to just like sort of set the scene for this. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in Philippi. Philippi was a Roman place. It was a Roman settlement which grew into a city. It was a pioneer place, and there wasn't a synagogue. There were very few Jews in Philippi, and that's why Paul in the whole book, the four chapters of Philippians, that he doesn't really mention any Old Testament scripture at all. And it's a letter that's written to all believers in Philippi. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it actually says that, you know, to the pastors, the deacons, and all the church in Philippi. So this isn't a letter for just a few people or one or two people. This is a letter for everybody. From the pastor right through to everybody else. He sort of levels the playing field, Paul does, and he says, this is a letter for all of you. This is a letter for all of you. It was a letter written from Paul's prison cell. So let's understand that this morning. This is a letter written from a position of want. You know, he's the one that's in prison, but he just shares his abundant heart with the people from a position of want. And it really talks to us about, in our circumstances, in our trials, in our problems, in our situations, how we can go above those situations, above those circumstances, and still praise God, even in the circumstances, even in the situations of life that happen. So here's Paul speaking from prison to them, writing them a letter of thanks. He wrote it to a group of people he had real relationship with. I believe they were one of the first church groups to support him financially and spiritually, in every way. They actually supported the work that he was in, and they sent money and they sent things for him to bless him in this place of imprisonment. So he was writing to a group of Christians in the city that he had a relationship with. And as we read through the whole letter, I encourage you to go and read all. It's only four chapters, it'll take you 10 minutes. Read it through at home, all of Philippians, and read what the letter is all about. His heart, his concern for them. Don't get misled by, you know, these that come, you know, supposedly in Christ's name, but just be careful. He loved them that much, he wanted to instruct them on how to live, how to be, how to go through. He wanted to comfort them. He wanted to encourage them to go on. It was a letter that truly shows Paul's heart and his desire to see the Philippian Christians grow together. To settle disputes. This is two ladies here, obviously, you know, at loggerheads with each other. And he's saying, come on, like, settle this stuff. You know, this isn't a good testimony for us. Settle this stuff here and move on. Love and support each other. And we'll look a bit more about that today. And for me, it makes me smile when I say it, but when I read through Philippians 4, it's almost like a doctor's prescription for wellness of spirit, soul and body. You know, this is, it's almost like you go to the doctor and say, well, what's up? Well, we've got people fighting, you know, we've got people sort of clearing off and leaving us because they've been led astray by others with wrong word. And all the stuff was going on in the church, the same as it's going on in the church today. We need to read our newspapers, listen to the news, and see everybody that's slating the church because of a group or a certain thing. There will always be those who will stand against the name of the Lord. And the same things seem to come on and rotate around. People need Jesus. And this is a lovely letter. This is a lovely Dr. Paul's prescription for how we need to walk, how we need to live, how we need to love, how we need to be amongst each other and bless each other and minister to each other. And you can see his heart coming out here. You know, he's obviously heard news. There's nothing worse than hearing bad news. You know, it's bad enough when it happens to you directly, but somehow when you only hear it second or third hand, it seems to like sting even more because you don't really know. You can't input into it. And how he must have felt being locked up in this prison when all this was going on with a church that he really loved, a people he had real close connection with. And yet this was all happening there in Philippi. And this morning, I just want to break down a few wonderful verses in chapter 4. And I pray it will bless you today. Verse 4, it says here, always be full of joy. Well, you know, that's a hard thing. You know, you don't know the circumstances in my life. You don't know the people I know. You don't know what's going on in my family. And no, Paul says, always be full of joy. Number one, medication. Be full of joy. Be full of joy. That's the first one. Be full of joy. Always. In all situations. Always be full of joy. And if that wasn't enough, and he says, yeah, you know, I'll say it again. You know, I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice when you don't feel like rejoicing. Be joyful when you don't want to be joyful, because that is when the breakthrough comes. If I had a euro for how many times I've said that to the church here in the last 8 or 9 years, well, how long have we been going? I think it's 8 years. You know, I think I'd be a rich man. I think I'd be sort of cruising around the Bahamas at the moment on the money. But no, I just, you know, I'll repeat it. Again, I'll say it. You know, I've said that before with sort of encouraging you to go on. I want to encourage you to go on. Encourage you to do these things that Paul is saying. I want to encourage you to take the medicine. Encourage you to walk in this way. Always be full of joy. Despite the circumstances, Paul's example. And you read in the rest of Philippians what he actually says. And, you know, in most of his writings and his letters to the churches there, he talks about the circumstances of his life. And yet in all of these things, he says, I have learnt. I have learnt the secret of being joyful. I've learnt the secret of just being able to trust God. And Juana Marie brought it out in a little testimony this morning that, you know, that in all of the stuff, God has proved to be faithful. God has proved to be faithful. When men have let her down, God has proved to be faithful. God has proved joy. And sometimes it's hard to find this joy. And 16 times in the book in the letter of Philippians, the four chapters, 16 times the word joy or words meaning that are used, the derivative of it. So 16 times. So he really wanted to get through to this church here in this town. So it's like us speaking to, like writing a letter to Matheron, to Wellspring this morning. Come on, folks, be full of joy all the time. Don't let go of the joy that I've deposited in you. You've heard the good news. I brought you the news. I can't come to you now, but have this joy. Stop your squabbling. Stop doing all these things that just break it apart. You know, and just be joyful in the circumstances you find yourself in. And this word joy, translated from a Greek word meaning gentleness. Some of the versions will use the word gentleness. There is a Greek word meaning gentleness. And I look into the meaning of this, and it actually describes the heart of somebody who will let the Lord fight their battles for them. That's what this word, this Greek word gentleness, where the joy is derived from, it actually says this. It's somebody who is content to let Jesus sort it out. How often we want to go and sort it? How often we want to go and sort them out? Get it sorted, get it straight, you know, put our view forward, all this sort of thing wells up within our humanness. We want to go and do it our way, bang the desk and all this sort of thing. He said, no, this joy, this peace, this gentleness is descriptive of the heart of someone who says, Father, I can't do this, but you can. I can't break into this hardness, but you can. I can't sort this dispute out, but you can. And be prepared to let it go. and not let it be. It's actually come up in the week when we did the course on Wednesday on offense. Yeah, how easily when we're offended, it just keeps rising up. And, you know, and when it rises up, say, no, Lord, you deal with this. I can't do this. I can't carry the weight of this thing. And this is what he's really saying to them. The first part of the medicine, you know, often we are quick to wade into situations where we need to say, Father, this is too big for me. You deal with it. You know, maybe we need to say some words. But when the words won't work anymore, it's going to have to be Jesus. It's going to have to be the Holy Spirit. So that the first part of the prescription, the first tablets are there. Always be full of joy. Be gentle. Let Jesus do the fighting. I remember we used to sing a song saying, glory, Jesus, glory, you do the fighting for me. Let him do the fighting for you. And this wonderful verse here in this part, straight away when he says that, and he says, and I'll say it again, and he does this in Philippians 3:1 as well, if I can find it. Yeah, it's in Philippians 3:1. It says, whatever happens, dear friends, be glad in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you this, and it is good for you to hear it again and again. You know, never get tired. It's wonderful when people support us, when people speak into our lives, and the faithful just to keep on saying again and again, you'll be okay, you'll make it, you'll sort it. Just that encouraging word. Don't give up, never give up, folks, giving people encouraging words. As God gives you the word, share it. And you may have told them 1,000 times, you know, just keep on giving them the word. You know, because sometimes it takes 1,001 times to get through. Just keep encouraging, keep blessing, keep repeating it. Paul repeats it again and again and again. He said, it doesn't matter, I don't tire of telling you. Because it's God's word. I don't tire of it today because it's his word to you. I say it again. If anything is worth saying, say it again. If it ain't worth saying, don't say it at all. Don't say it the first time. Be careful with our words. This is another message completely. Don't go in. I don't want to go down that road this morning. But you know, words are so powerful. Words are so powerful. And as just as how negative a word could be, the opposite is so powerful a word can be. A word can bring life and a word can bring death. We speak it out day by day. I encourage you to speak good words over people. It says there, it goes on to say that next section there. It says, I say it again and rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all that you do. In other words, let everybody see this gentle nature that he's put within you. Let it shine from you. You know, Paul, we've just gone to be with the Lord. Paul Lubbock, what a gentle man. You know, this emanated from it. It like oozed from him. You know, gentleness. You know, I can never forget when he first came here. We were at Bolnuevo, and he'd been here with us about a year, off and on in his caravan. And he said to me one day, he says, could I come up and spend an hour with you, brother? And he drove up in his car right across the Los Minos to Alhama, and he came to the house, and he said, I said, what would you like to speak about, Paul? And he said, I'd like you to get your guitar and play a few songs for me. And I thought, whatever, you know. I said, what sort of songs would you like? He said, just sing the songs that we sing in church. And I said, well, why do you want me to sing the songs that we sing in church? He said, because I've never heard songs like them before. He'd come from a church where it was very traditional, you know, very much, you know, used hymns all the time. I've got nothing against hymns at all. Some are beautiful. But he'd come into Wellspring and he'd heard songs he'd never heard before that touched his heart, that made an impression on him, that changed the way that he thought. And he said, I just want you to share. Just play some of these songs for me. And he sat there on the sofa and he wept and he sung along to some of these songs with me that he just barely knew. And he said, oh, and this is why recently Duncan's had to send songs through for him, because he's with his cancer, he was not able to get around. And he said, he said, Andrew, I listened to the Easter services, I watched them on the television. He said, but there was no heart in them. Send me some songs with some heart in. So we had the joy of sending us some through in the last few months. You know, and I just pray that they really blessed him as he listened to them. You know what he said before he left? He said to me, and it really humbled me, and I've never ever forgot it. He said to me, he said, this is an older man to me, and he said, do you think I could be your Silas? I thought, what? And I said to him, Paul, do you think I could be your Timothy? Because, you know, in that great wisdom and experience of life that he had, that he had such a gentle, loving, precious heart. That was, he may have wanted a bit of me, but oh, I wanted a bit of him too. I wanted something that God had deposited into his life too. Praise God. Let people see the gentleness in you. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. If we live knowing that he could come today, we'll live with gentle hearts. We'll live close to him. Close to the Master, close to him, because we know, you know, and it's not like, you know, oh, I'm going to block my copybook, but what a way to live today, as if he could come before we have lunch. Jesus could be back, you know, but have a heart that's ready to receive him. What a wonderful way to live, forgetting how many blood moons are going to come between now and then. I just want to be ready today for when Jesus calls me home. I want a heart that's ready to receive him. Praise God. It says, so verse 6, don't worry about anything. You know, it's like saying, always be full of joy. Don't worry. Speaking to the ace warrior here, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about the stuff that's going on. Pray about it. Pray about it. You know, it's a command here. It's not an option. You know, it's not either or. He says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about it. Instead, this is the answer. This is the next line of the prescription this morning. Pray about it. Pray about it. Don't worry. Worry never changed anything. Worry's never changed anything in my life. It's put me in hospital a few times, but it's never changed anything in my life. And so it's so important that we don't let worry just absolutely floor us in our Christian walk. Pray about everything. Everything that matters to you. Absolutely everything. Live a life where prayer and communion with God is a reality. Tell God about your needs. Everything. I put that in capital letters. Everything. Talk to him like you would talk to a friend. You know, we come with our little set prayers, and I'm guilty of it. We come, you know, this, we do say this, and then we say that, and we say something else. Just talk to him as if I'm talking to you over a cup of coffee. Talk to each other. Talk to him. Talk to Father like that. That's what he wants to commune with you to talk with you like that. Tell him everything. Spill the beans to him. You know, it's wonderful. Don't whine and complain to him all the time about what this person did or that person didn't do or the lack I have here or this never worked out for me. Thank him. We can all find some of the first song today. I'm so pleased. All of the songs that Cliff had prepared, wonderful this morning. And even our little banjo, bit of a like a smile on our face song this morning. But no, count your blessings. All of us can look back today. You know, Carol, what can you thank God for today?
Just thank him for being my father.
Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Cliff, what can you thank God for right now?
I can thank him for everything I have.
Yeah.
You know, all the bounty blessing, everything I am is because of him.
Yeah. Pat, what can you thank God about today?
My family.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Ruth? What can you thank God for today? Yeah. See, all of us have a testimony. All of us can be thankful today. Yes, we've got bad stuff happening in our lives, but every one of us can be thankful today. Every one of us can pray and tell him about it, but we don't need to whine. He knows the mess. He knows the stuff that's going on in our lives. He knows what's going on. Let's let that stuff go. Be thankful for what he's doing in our lives. Even when you can't hear his voice, listen out for the Father's voice. You know, if you train yourself, you can hear him. If we train ourselves, how do we train ourselves? We spend time with him. That's how we train. That's how we listen. You know, you want to go and learn how to play golf? You go and you talk to a golf pro, and you go to a club and you get somebody with you that knows how to do it. I had a man who used to go to me, and he used to have a golf, his actual golf club, and he used to stand in front of me. I haven't played golf for many years, really. But when I was learning for business, he used to stand in front of me, this old chap, and he used to tap me on the shoulder really hard with the club. If I was like this, or I wasn't standing straight, he, bam, he said, no, like that, you know. And this is how God is sometimes. He says, come on now, stand upright. This is the right posture. This is the way to be. And it's the same with this, the next line on the prescription. Pray about everything. Everything. Talk to him. You know, try speaking to God when you don't have a need. I'll say that again. Paul said I could. Talk to God. Try speaking to him when you don't have a need. You know, so often we only go to him. You know, when you just want to say, hi, Jesus, I love you. Just talk to him like that. You know, that's what prayer is. It's not like some little slot where we come solemnly and say, oh, you know. You know, the world is made into some sort of thing, but it is so open and wide today for every one of us. Pray about everything. Talk to him about everything. You know, if you try it, I guarantee you, it will revolutionize your life. As you do this, you'll experience his peace. And I thought, what is this? What is God's peace? What is this peace that Paul is talking about here? What is this peace? It says, you know, pray about everything. Don't worry about everything. It said, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. You know, he's thanking him for his answers before they come. Thank you, Father, for how this thing's going to be resolved. I'll leave it at your feet today. So important. We pray in this way. If you do this, he says, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than this head. And your heads can understand, and your mind can understand. He says, his peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in the Lord. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I could do with a dose of quietness, a dose of peace, of God's peace. And I know it's up to me. Sometimes it's down to us. We have to do the training. We have to do the running, you know, to get ourselves fit. Spiritually fit, I'm talking about this morning, before you start worrying about, I'm going to have you outside racing up and down the forecourt of the church. No. So God wants us spiritually fit. You know, it says if you do this, you'll have peace in your hearts, in your lives. You know, and his peace is far more wonderful than our hearts and minds can take in. I recently read this. It says, peace is from God. It's a gift. Peace is from God. It's a gift. And peace with God. That's God's peace too. It's a relationship. And what is the peace of God? God's peace is beyond our power. Beyond what we can receive ourselves. It comes through him. So there's three things there. Peace from God, peace with God, and peace, the peace of God. So it's a gift from him. Let's receive it. Let's receive the gift this morning. It's a peace with him. It's a relationship with him. Let's have that relationship with him this morning. And it's the peace of God. It's beyond our power. It's beyond our reasoning. It's beyond our imagining. But he can give it to us this morning if we trust him. Oh, to have a quiet and restful heart when all around's pressing. All around is wanting a piece of you. Oh, to have that quiet, that place where we can come. Take the medicine. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, you are all to me. He just loves to hear our voices. And lastly, as I wrap up this morning, I know I've said that before, and today I mean it. It says, and now, brothers, and it's just wonderful. It's a little tag. It's almost like a tagline on the end of it. Of all of that about what he wants us to do to receive that peace and that joy in the Lord. And it says, and now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one more thing. I'll say it again. Here it is again. I'll say this one more thing for you. Get this in. Get this in your heart today. Sink it in to your heart today. Fix your thoughts, right? On what is true, what is good, and what is right. Think about things that are pure and lovely. Dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. keep putting into practice all you learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Look at these words, look at these sentences very, very closely this morning. What he says here, let me say this, this one more thing, and he says, fix your thoughts on these true, good, and right things. Think about the things that are pure and lovely, and dwell. So there's three things to do, three more things to put on the prescription this morning. Fixing our thoughts on good stuff, what things that are true, things that are not hearsay, or things that are bad or bad news or whatever. Think upon the good things. See the good in people, the good in situations happening around you, not always the bad. The right things. Fix your thoughts on there. Think about the things that are pure and lovely. I used to read this at assembly every Friday at school for the 5 years I was at senior school. The headmaster read this verse. Whatever is pure, true, lovely, or you think on these things. And we always had it every Friday. It was one verse. Traditionally, you always did it. Fix your thoughts. Think about those things that are pure and lovely. And dwell on it. You know, we so often dwell on the rubbish. We dwell on the stuff that's gone wrong. The stuff that we can't do anything about. You know, so it's. I just want to just encourage you today. Encourage you to fix your thoughts. To think, to dwell on what is true, good, right, pure, lovely, fine, and excellent. You see, this is the key. This is the big chunk of medicine at the bottom. The best bit. He saved it till last. That's the key. If we can think, and if we can dwell, and if we can just home our minds upon the goodness of His goodness, and fix our thoughts on those, it's going to be a way that He can take us into a new level of relationship with Him. Don't dwell on the bad, dwell on the good. We have to get out of the habit of thinking about the bad stuff all the time. As I've said this morning, we can find, every one of us can find something to praise God for today in this place. Let's, like the plea to the Philippians, respond to the Holy Spirit. Follow Paul's example of living a joyful life no matter what the circumstances of life may bring. Let's learn to be content like Paul was content. You see, we may have the prescription. Are we going to fill it? We may have it, and I've had prescriptions before. And sometimes I couldn't be bothered to fill them because I perhaps felt a little bit better. But a few days later, when probably the prescription was out of date, it all come over me all over again. You know, if we don't fill the prescription, if we don't go and get the medicine, if we don't start walking in this way, we're going to be continually sick in ourselves. We need to fill the prescription. We need to start taking the medicine. And the God of peace will be with you and He'll be with me. Receive the gift. As we get close to Him, knowing that so much in life is beyond the realm of what we can do, but knowing, really knowing, that with God, all things are possible. Amen. God bless you. Yeah.